So let's dive into something that's very profound. And just as a disclaimer, I'll do my best to choose words, and I hope the words will do justice to the topic that we're learning about.
Sorry.
Towards the end of the parsha, the Torah speaks about a man. When the Jewish people were in the desert, we found a man that was Mikoshesh, Eitzim, B'Yoyim HaShabbos, and the word Mikoshesh, Talmudically, is debated what exactly did he do, which appears to be in violation of Shabbos. He might have been someone that was uprooting that which was planted, which is a violation of Shabbos. He might have been someone gathering ma'amer. Certain circumstances, gathering is prohibited. Parenthetically, don't get nervous. If your bowl of apples spill on Shabbos, you are allowed to gather it. Some people understand that he was carrying wood. We know carrying when there's no eder is prohibited. Carrying is prohibited in the public domain, or from the public to the private, from the private to the public. But I just want to dive right in. The Zohar says, and this is where it gets very interesting, that Mekoshesh means he was comparing, and Eitzim, the plural for Eitz, is that he was measuring, comparing the Eitz HaChaim and the Eitz HaDas to see which one was greater.
Sorry, I don't know the context because I haven't been here. The context is...
is that at some point, it's not even clear when it happened. According to some opinions, it happened the week after Hashem gave us the Torah. We have a tradition that if the Jewish people will keep two Shabbatot, redemption will come into the world. And many people are familiar with just one Shabbos and we'll all be free. And the reconciliation is that the first Shabbos that Hashem gave the Torah, we kept Shabbos. And this story happened next week. So we're still owing one Shabbos.
Wow.
There was some breakage of Shabbos. What happened on the external world is true. Not clear exactly what, but there was a man who was a great man who broke the Shabbos. And that error came, let's go right in to the deep, is that he was measuring which one is greater, the Eitz HaChaim and the Eitz HaDas. And that type of question ultimately led to a breaking of Shabbos. I'm not going to speak about breaking Shabbos. I want to speak about the Eitz HaChaim and the Eitz HaDas. And this is beautiful. And again, I'm going out on a limb. If what I'm saying is not correct, very well could be. I know the words and I'm trying to understand them properly. Number one, in this Gan Eden, in middle of the garden, there was a double tree. In the core of it all was something called the tree of life, surrounded by the tree of Das, of good and bad, which means that whoever eats from the Eitz HaDas, they become empowered. They bring forth their ability to discern between good and bad. The Eitz HaDas, Toi Vara, rightfully, you can argue, is one of our main functions of being alive. We live in a world, things either they just happened and you have to look back and make a judgment call, or things are going to happen. And part of our mission, maybe the ikar of our mission, is to get clarity to know what is right and what's wrong. I always argue, and I stand by this, that mamash, most people want to do right. There are very few people that know it's evil and they want to do it. Most people want to do right. They are confused. They don't know what's right and what's wrong. Yeah, we have a Yetzer Hara. Yeah, we also know that people are weak. But that's not the dominant challenge. In other words, that there are moments in which, even though I know this is wrong, I do it. I'm not going to address that. At least there's clarity. There is hope. The problem is that I know that I have a Yetzer Hara. I can't help myself. The problem of humanity, the bigger problem is that we don't know what's right and what's wrong. And therefore, the question is, what's wrong with the Eitz HaDas Toi Vara? It's good, not bad. We have to eat. We have to know. correctly so, the Zohar calls the entire revealed part of the Torah, Mishneh, Gemara, Halacha, the Eitz Hadas Toivara. Because what exactly does the Torah do? The Torah speaks about, I'm thinking Halacha. It tells you about reality. That's kosher, that's treif. Even if it's kosher, it's not so ethical. You know, Pirkei Avos, you can argue the whole Torah is taka called Eitz Hadas Toivara. And if you don't learn the Torah, we know this right now, what might appear in my limited mind as the right thing to do, sometimes halacha will say it's wrong. Sometimes the rabbi doesn't know what he's talking about. But presuming you got the Torah right, we need to have an objective revelation, this is right and that's wrong. So isn't the Eitz Hadas Toivara a good thing, a necessary thing, a holy thing? What exactly was the sin of Adam? The Zohar, and we're learning pure Kabbalah, the Zohar claims that what has to happen is you have to partake from the Eitz HaChayim first. Only afterwards is the Eitz Hadas Toivara going to be successful and effective and therefore needed. The mistake that Adam and Chava made is that they ate from the Eitz Hadas Toivara prior to the eating of the Eitz HaChayim. And once you do that, even though your intent is good, you're learning to know good and bad, you are doomed from the outset. You're going to become bad eventually. And you take a see that. You see many people, you wonder that they're learning the whole time the difference between good and bad, and they are perpetrators of bad, not only because they're weak, because they're confused. And how does that happen? When you hear a great Torah giant coming and making a statement in the cases where they're so wrong, like, oh my God, how does that happen? What's the Eitz HaChayim? And why didn't they have from the Eitz HaChayim? This statement of the Zohar explains other midrashim that at least I was more familiar with, and that is that had they waited until Shabbos, the Eitz Hadas Toivara would have been permitted. Clearly indicating that there isn't an inherent problem with consuming, with taking in the knowledge of the discernment of good versus bad. We are doing it the whole time. We are struggling with that, which is a beautiful thing. Ask any Jew. We are preoccupied. We were having a discussion right now. There was a protest. There was a counter-protest. What are all of the Jews in LA doing today? They are having this debate. What's the right thing? What's the wrong thing? That in itself is beautiful. That's what we're here for. In other words, it's based on the premise that just tell me what's right and I'll do it. Theoretically, I have the courage, I have the willpower, I'm willing to sacrifice, I just want to make sure what I'm doing is the right thing. And in most cases in life, it's not so clear, right? We have kids, we want to know what's right and what's wrong. We're willing to pay the price, I'm not looking to be Mr. Nice Guy, in other words, that's parenting today. Parenting today is a group of younger people. God gave kids to young people for whatever reason, for a divine reason. We're not that advanced. We're doing the best we could. And every day God gives opportunities and challenges in which every parent that we know, mamish is going to do the right thing. We would cut off our arm if we have to. We just don't know what's the right thing. Should I be gevura? Should I be chesed? Should I say this? Should I say that? So everyone is doing the Eitz Hadas Toivara. We're just getting it in the wrong order. Prior to the Eitz Hadas Toivara, we have to have the Eitz HaChayim. What does that mean? I can only share the words that we have in Chassidus, which are very deep, and propose a new language for it, for us to be able to apply it better. Eitz Hadas is connected to self-awareness. Eitz HaChayim is connected to a state in which a person is completely unself-aware. Going back to the story, and let's speak about our children, that before the Eitz Hadas mistake, they were unclothed and they were not ashamed. Unclothed, not ashamed, comes from a state of being completely not self-aware, like a child. Very pure in the context of not self-aware. The words in Chassidus is Einoy Murgish. Eitz HaChayim is Einoy Murgish. Eitz HaChayim, if you eat from the Eitz HaChayim, you are able to plug into complete not self-aware, selflessness, You're not even aware that you're selfless. You're mamash, like you're just channeling something. Most people merit to have such moments. And when they were in that phase, whatever came through them was the best things they ever brought into the world. When they were completely out, you know, they ask these big musicians, what's your experience? He says, I have no experience. They're not aware of themselves. Like all these people before, they go on stage and they're anxious and they're nervous, and all of that goes away when they begin, because they might be anxious people, but they're not there. They are not there. Eino morgish. Eitz hadas is morgish. Let me give you other words. Eitz hachayim is limitless. Infinity. We're finite people. Infinity. Eitz hadas is finite. We have to begin by being based on something infinite, on something selfless, and then we have to graduate to the experience of self. We have to. Remaining in the world of Eitz HaChaim is not the right thing to do, but going straight to the Eitz HaDas is also not the right thing to do. When we all heard the Hasidic take many times over, that the spies wanted to stay in the desert to be closer to God. Let's use these words. The spies wanted to stay connected exclusively to the Eitz HaChaim. It's very spiritual, the desert. And God told them, no, you got to go into the land. Or to say different words, the avoida of Birurim is pure Eitz Hadas Toivara. Birurim is to disentangle good from bad. In the world of Eitz HaChaim, you're not doing Birurim. You're living in this bubble, in this cloud, where everything is pure and holy and godly, mamish, like in Gan Eden. So after the story of the spies, when we finally got clear, we got it clear that as beautiful as it is to live in the world of Eitz HaChaim, that's not why we're here. We're here to get into the world. We're here to do Birurim. So he began, this man, to come to the opposite conclusion. Both sides, you know, it's the opposite side of the same counterfeit coin. Eitz HaChaim by itself is wrong. Eitz Hadas, as the beginning of everything and the ending of everything, is also wrong. You have to have the Eitz HaChaim. Eitz HaChaim and then Eitz Hadas. I want to share. Okay, but the words that I'm saying now are words that we have in many Hasidic discourses. I want to share a little bit about Lilith, and then I want to give a certain understanding of, perhaps, of what that means. First of all, every now and then it comes up. It doesn't come up often enough because on purpose God made it so that the portion of Bereshit gets the least attention. And it's so disappointing because it comes right after Simchas Torah, and then you're ready up to Noach, and Noach is also amazing. So it gets gypped. And it's, oh my God. So one of the things we know is that after Adam and Chava eating the Eitz Hadas, Adam and Chava were separated for 130 years. They got reunited and they conceived Shais, who was the father, the great-grandfather of Noach, great, nine generations great. I'm saying up. But we are descendants paternally from Shais. Shais means a foundation. Evan HaShasiyah, Cain and Hevel. Hevel got murdered. Hevel was also too lofty for this world. Cain became bad. And the world came from Shais. The Medrash says, and the words that we're saying normally should not even be spoken, like there is this fear, but in the context of learning, it has to be spoken. If not, no one can ever learn. That there is this feminine being called Lilith. The Goyim call her Lilith. I'm going to go with the Goyish word, not to call her by her real name. And Adam was somehow married to Lilith for 130 years. And they produced all these demonic beings. And Lilith forever remains the energy that's connected to corrupted misbehavior in the field of the feminine, of the union between a man and a woman. And, you know, it says in the Zohar that all of the tragedies when children die in their cribs, They were taken by Lilith. You have stuff like that. And perhaps, again, I'm going perhaps, that Lilith was not this separate being. If you don't have the Eitz HaChaim, then if all you have is the Eitz HaDas, which on one hand is great, you have clarity, you got it, you know, I know right and I know wrong, and the marriage between Adam and Chava was imperfect, and therefore Chava was channeling Lilith. And only after they did Shuvah and they rectified, the ultimate rectification will be in the Messianic era, but they began to do the tikkun in which they understood you can't begin with Eitz HaDas, you cannot begin with Eitz HaDas, you have to begin with the Eitz HaChaim, even though now it was hard for them to get to the Eitz HaChaim. Even that allowed for their union to be perfect, and only when the union is perfect does the offspring manifest, express the perfection of the parents, which was Sheis. Sheis represented the highest Adam and Chava, versus whatever beings, and it could have been physical children that they had after Cain and Hevel, they were demonic, they were not perfect, they were not perfect beings. Okay, so what does that mean? So one of the things we have been speaking about over the last couple of weeks, maybe months, which is really the basis and the beginning of Tanya, is the beautiful clarity, Eitz HaDas Tov V'Ra, that the Alter Rebbe gives to us to get these words. There is that I'm responsible for, and there is parts of my life for which I'm not responsible for. That doesn't mean that I just walk away from it. Not responsible meaning that I have to know from the outset that there are things in my life that will remain beyond my control. I'm not talking about the world out there, because this statement is true regarding our lives. There are parts of our life that we are the responsible ones. There are parts of our life that we are not responsible for. Not meaning if I'm not responsible, shalom, God forbid, means it's part of my life. I have to be present, but I shouldn't begin with the misunderstanding that I have to control every part of my life. That's very wrong. It's a wrong attitude. And it's frustrating, because if I think that something should be under my control and I give my soul for it and I fail, that's very disheartening. God, why? What did I do wrong? And the wrong was there was a misunderstanding. The person was not educated properly. That was bichlal not under your control. It wasn't within your control. So then the question is, so what's my part? Let me speak about the inner person. The inner person, the Alter Rebbe separates that my behavior, which includes the words that I choose, which even includes my thoughts, which is very difficult, but my behavior is something within my control. Judaism, I'm speaking about the outer part of the Torah, was given to guide me as to this is the right choice and that's the wrong choice. And that knowledge is important for me because I actually have the power to make that choice. So if there's kosher food in front of me and there's non-kosher food in front of me, I have the koyach to choose which one I'll go for. And that's the realm of my choice and responsibility. And I'll use the word control. Behavior, my behavior, not your behavior. My behavior is something that I have power over and therefore I have responsibility for. What about my feelings? My feelings. What about the way I think? The Alter Rebbe begins the Tanya by saying, everyone is born with a natural, it's amazing, feelings is like a world. You feel your unique way, you understand your unique way, and you have to begin with the knowledge that you are not here to change it, because you cannot. You cannot transform what the Alter Rebbe calls your animal soul. Speaking about feelings, the way you naturally react emotionally and the way you think. Like two people are equally intelligent. We're not measuring the number of the IQ, just the way you think. Everyone thinks differently. Their logic is different. I have to rewire my brain. Now hold on. if my thinking is not proper, what does that even mean? If my feelings are not proper, what does that even mean? So let me speak about feelings. Thoughts are the same. Ideas are the same. Is that let's speak about emotions that objectively are objectively deemed to be negative emotions, like anger, like arrogance. Okay, let's just speak as an example. So, or like a controller. Okay, so these are emotions that are objectively by Torah deemed as to be not good, animal type, unrectified emotions. The Alter Rebbe is telling me that, oh, I have the ability to, if I feel anger, not to express it in my behavior. That's where I mamish have control. It can be very difficult, but I have control. Where I don't have control is not to get angry. Because I am angry. And I'm not a tzaddik, which means I'm not in control over my emotions. Now, what do I do with that? So what should I do? Minimally, the only way I will succeed in controlling my anger is by knowing it's there, to begin with that. I'm not checking out. I want to know what is. I want to know what is. Why do I want to know what is? So I am right now in the zone of arrogance. I'm in the zone of anger. I'm in the zone of laziness and other emotions that the Torah objectively deems to be dark emotions. I have them because I'm human. I cannot change them. I cannot change them. The presumption is presumptuous, is arrogant. No, I can't. So what should I do? I should be aware of them, because if I don't even know that I'm angry, my anger is going to be running me a lot more powerfully than when I at least I can look it in the face and own the fact I'm feeling angry. And I'm better be quiet, because when I'm angry, I end up expressing it, and the expression of anger in most cases is inappropriate. In most cases. Anger towards evil will be an exception. I'm not going to go into the exceptions. In other words, there are even places for the non-tzaddik where what you feel has a place in this world. Again, you have to know when, but before the exceptions. Correct statement, anger is a negative emotion. Laziness is a negative emotion. If the lucky person who's being tempted can somehow tap into one's laziness and not sin out of laziness, that would be just as an exceptional place. Okay, I'm lazy. I'll sin tomorrow. Right now, I just want to do nothing. But normally, it doesn't work that way. Laziness normally is a bad emotion. And even though I cannot fix it, the inner world, I have to know what I am in order for me to succeed in my job. So if you have agitators, knowing that they're there, knowing where they are there, it gives us the ability to choose to avoid them, not to avoid them, versus not knowing anything. Not knowing, like, who cares if I don't know? This is the problem. If I don't know, if I'm not looking at my behemoth, if I don't look at it, it's going to run me without me even knowing. Whoa, where did that come from? So there is, and now it's not that the Alter Rebbe is saying that a Beinoni cannot transform the animal and therefore forget about the animal. The opposite. Know it. Know thy animal. Why know thy animal? To be able to do your job better. So far, so good? Okay. The Alter Rebbe begins the Tanya with that. The Alter Rebbe doesn't end the Tanya with that. The Alter Rebbe spends a lot of time giving people tips of how we could somehow be involved in the transformation of our animal. It fully happens by a tzaddik. By the Beinoni, we cannot demand for it to happen. We should not be disappointed when we see it didn't happen. We spoke about that last week. But I want to speak about, there is one thing that I understand we are able to do. Not just being aware of it. So let's say a person, let's just say a person has an anger, as a control issue. before transforming it, and let me use the words of the Alter Rebbe, I cannot transform it. God will transform it. God will transform it in part, in full, if I let go of it. And I'm holding on to it. It's like, let go to let God. Even when Hashem wants to grace you with certain things, we can insist, I don't want it. Why would I hold on to my anger? Primarily, because I'm denying that I have it. That's a trick. Why will I deny that I have it? Because I'm ashamed of it. Because it's bad. Because I'm judging it. Because it's bad. And we have an image of ourselves that we all have, the wrong image of ourselves. Part of the wrong image is that we see ourselves to be more righteous inwards than we are, because we grew up, we hear all of these values that the Torah has. We have the tree of the knowledge of good and bad. We are taught what's good and bad. So if from when you're little, you hear from your parents and from your teachers and from this, that feeling is bad. Not allowed to be angry. Anger is a bad thing. Not allowed to be arrogant. Not allowed to be controlling. Not allowed to be jealous. Can't be jealous. Jealousy, I can tell you, for some reason, most people don't know how jealous they are. Because they are so judgmental, because they have the tree of knowledge. They know jealous is not good. It's in the Ten Commandments. I'm not jealous. I forgive. I also want the same thing, but nothing wrong with that. Well, if you see a person that has a nice car, stupid than man example, nothing wrong for you to want the same type of car. But I'm talking about you wanting that car. A person will say, I don't have that. Now, by the way, it could be you who are listening, could be you wrong, but you're the exception. I would suggest that many people have it, but because of them beginning, they begin with the good and bad. We begin our Avodas Hashem already with so much knowledge of this is good and this is bad and this is good and this is bad. Our judging of certain feelings to be bad, which it is, we're not making the wrong judgment, does not allow us to see that we have it. And if I don't see that I have jealousy, not only will jealousy be running a part of my life, and I won't even understand, why did I do that? Why did I say that? What's the real motivator? I'll be blind to me. I'll delude myself. I'll think that it's not coming from jealousy when it is, because I don't know that I have it. I don't know that I have it because I know that it's bad. And so the antidote for that is, before we begin with knowing what's good and bad, this is very difficult because you know that it's bad, you have to come to a place of emes. And it's amazing that in the 13 attributes of mercy, one of them is emes. One would argue emes is not merciful. Truth hurts. Right? Mercy is rachamim. And in the heart of the 13 attributes of divine, the highest level of mercy is emes. Because I can only be emes if I take away judgment. And there's no greater mercy than taking away judgment. Being able to look at things purely, objectively, comes from a place of rachamim, of compassion. Yeah, you have jealousy, but okay, it's not going to destroy you. You are okay. Not, oh my God. Imagine if we would see clearly all of our chesroinus, most people would be crushed because they're beginning with an ego. If you begin selfless, the more selfless a person is, the more will they be able to handle themselves, the truth, which the good is probably even better than they think, and the dark is probably darker than what they think, but they'll be able to see it. And only after you see it, I would suggest, will you at least be able to let go of it. So even though I can't transform it, But if I would take a see that I have jealousy, I don't want to be jealous. Okay, good. That's later. That's step number two. Eitz Hadas. Then let go of it. I don't even know when to let go of it because I don't even know when I feel it. I'm not aware of my jealousy. Why? Because I judge it to be so disgusting. And the same is with control, and the same is with anger, and the same is whenever you tell a person they have something and they get very upset that you thought that about them, and they'll right away say, I have other things. No, don't think. I'm not Mr. Perfect. I know I have A, B, and C, but this, me, I'm insulted. You probably hit it on the head. I know it's funny because we all do that. And it's very easy for me to say this. I know that. I'm the big sayer. I'm guilty with everyone else plus. Just to own it when you have to own it, not when people are learning. When people are learning, this is called Eitz Hadas Toivara. We're learning, we become enlightened, we hear a good idea, and it's very uplifting. And the reason why we have a hard time applying it is because we already begin with an ego. We begin with self-awareness. We have to first connect to Eitz HaChaim, which is so elusive. The Rebbe applies this by saying that the first part of davening is Moida Ani. Moida Ani means to surrender. And I think surrendering, that's my current understanding, that even the Beinoni, which is almost all of humanity, even though I cannot transform my animal, I can surrender, I can let go of that part of my animal. And it's very difficult to do it because I'm so clingy to it. Mainly because I'm in denial that it's there, and I'm familiar with it. They're very deep things. People will they sometimes you say this to a person, they'll say, I don't know what the heck you're talking about. And someone else can tell them, no, this is coming because it's coming from anger, or it's coming from whatever. Just pick any bad midah, and the person will say it's not true. And a person will say it's not true, even if they are humble people and they're looking for the truth. They will be blind. We have real blind spots. And why are they blind, I'm saying, is because they knew the right and the wrong before they were connected to the Eitz HaChaim. And if I know something is wrong, it's so painful to see it in ourselves, we just can't see it. We can't see it. Very much like many times parents cannot see certain flaws in their kids. Good parents, because they love their kids. And because, oh my God, like...
Or it's a reflection of themselves.
That's even worse. That's even deeper. That's another truth. Because I can't see it in me. Because why can't I see it in me? Because I know that it's bad. So the knowledge of this discernment, if it's not based on something deeper, which is very much connected to being selfless, it's funny how selflessness, how nothingness is able to break down. So yeah, so I'm angry and I'm jealous and I'm a control freak and all this, yeah. It's not going to break me if I'm nothing, if I'm the good way. If I'm connected to Chaim, I can tolerate that type of beating up. If I'm something, a Jewish something, a good something, you can't tolerate. That's why when people are younger, you have to be careful. People are younger, they cannot be criticized. You have to be very careful if and when, because they're not yet connected to the Eitz HaChaim. When you just have an ego, which is how things are. That's the world that we live in. You begin with an ego. Actually, babies don't have an ego. They're not uncomfortable. They don't get ashamed. They're pure. But they didn't internalize it. It was like a gift. Adam and Chava also were that way. But they didn't eat and spend time with the Eitz HaChaim. They didn't mindfully spend the other 3 hours living in the Eitz HaChaim reality prior to going to the Eitz Hadas. They dived right into the Eitz Hadas. Like, tell me what to do. We're all good doers. And the good doing is our worst undoing. I'm speaking about on a very high level. Thank you that you're a good doer. Baruch Hashem. The alternative to that, not in this class, would be being a bad doer. I'm not talking about that. But we all have every Jew. What am I doing? What am I doing for Israel? What am I doing? We're in the zone of doing. And the next step of growth is stop. Stop doing. Stopping to doing, meaning spend your time and energy to see what is. And I'm not talking about the outer world. And even in the outer world, when you look at what is, it's not so simple to determine right and wrong, and to have the humility that even if we made a certain judgment, maybe revisit it, and then maybe look at it again. But before you make a judgment, you have to accept what is. And when it comes to out there, it's easier. When it comes to in here, it's very difficult to accept what is, because there's a lot of darkness in every person. And that is even to a person who's 80 years old, Yechonin Kohen Gadol. Imagine a Yid, a Kohen Gadol for 80 years. Not 80 years old, he was at least 93, or he was 100. And he spent the bulk of his life being the greatest tzaddik, and he completely went off the rails. How is that even, I know it only happened once, but how is that even possible? Because he thought he was righteous. He thought he was righteous. It says he became a tzaduki. Tzaduki means tzedek, tzaduk. He thought that all of him was righteous. And we have to know that part of us is very righteous and part of us is neutral, and there is a part in everyone that's very dark. Seeing it, knowing it, like when they tell you when you walk down the street, be aware of your surroundings. That in itself will already take away the power of the bandit to jump on you. In many cases, the fact that the bandit sees that you see him or her, mamish, they give you advice. Like, don't go on the street and don't be texting when you're walking. Be aware of your surroundings. Let's apply all of that to inwards. With the big difference is that I cannot control my animal. I have to begin with that. And I can't even, God might or might not transform it. I have to let go of it. I'm connected to it on purpose, deep down. I keep it. I want to keep it so badly. You know how I keep it? I deny that I have it. Like the worst ganav. If the ganav is going to be caught, it's going to be telling you got to give up the goods. So the ganav doesn't want to be discovered. So we have that in us. And if you know what's good and bad, the knowledge of good and bad is then part of the problem. Why would I give something up if I have to agree that I have it? If I have it. I'm not saying people should adopt things they don't have, but we have a lot of dark stuff. I think no one sees the darkness. And why don't I see it? Because I can't tolerate. I have that. Take away all judgment to be able to see what is. And then make a judgment. Okay, now that I can face the fact that I have jealousy, then I can go and say, I don't want to be jealous. I know it's not within my power to transform it, but I'm letting go of it. At least I'll let go of it. I won't be clutching onto it. That's the way I understand this concept, that we have to have the Eitz HaChaim before we have the Eitz HaDaas. In the desert, we were doing a lot of Eitz HaChaim work. In the desert, we were doing deep work. And that's why the spies didn't want to go into Israel. Israel is a world in which you spend most of the time being a good doer. You're a good doer. We're doing this, and I'm doing that, I'm doing. And God sided with the side that you have to be a good doer. So this man says, well, if that's the case, then this whole inner work is secondary. So he began to give too much importance to the Eitz HaDaas. God says, I don't want that either. In quantity of time, you have to be in the world of doers. You have to be a doer for most of the time. But the base, the beginning of the day is Moida Ani. Moida doesn't mean to understand. Moida means I submit. Moida means I surrender. If it's I, I'm doomed. And we all have within us, because we have within us a big neshama, the capacity of mamish losing the eye. Like, wow. That has to be our base. That is able to look at itself and to see things the way they are. And now you can teach it the right and the wrong, and it's going to make judgments. And it's going to tell its own animal, I don't want you. I don't want to be jealous. But I see that I am. I'm able to see it. Or in the marriage, same thing with Adam and Chava, that, you know, there are couples that are doing everything right. Everything was right. And somehow they feel it's not. However, you'll get better words for that. That was the marriage of Adam and Chava for the first 130 years. Tell me what my job is. Tell me what I should do. I'm doing the right thing. I'll never do the wrong thing. There are certain people that on the external world, they're doing everything right, and they get very insulted when their spouse tells them something is missing. They say, something is wrong with you. I'm doing everything right. And it could be he's doing or she's doing everything right. There is something deeper that's connected to selflessness that has nothing to do with the realm of doing. It's not about what you're doing. It's not about what you're not doing. It's a very deep attitude that is somehow not connected to the tree of life. And if that's not there, it's off. Adam and Chava, they wanted to know right away. There's a world. Tell me what to do. Maybe that's why there's no manual. People get married. There's no manual.
But they were told not to eat from the tree.
The way the Zohar words it is, they were told first to eat of the Eitz HaChaim, prior to which not to eat from that tree.
Okay.
And only then eat from the tree. And they love that. Ah, you're telling me what to do. That's what I... That, they went into that mindset of what my function here is to know the right from the wrong. And in the world of Birur, we have to know the right from the wrong. We cannot do Birurim without knowing the right of the wrong. What they, according to the Zohar, their mistake was, is that they dived right away into that prematurely. Prior to going into an inner zone where it's not about right and wrong. Actually, it's somehow connected to life itself, to life itself. There was some very deep inner experience that they rushed out of. Like what Chassidus says, is that the main purpose is the 6 days of the week. Yeah, but when you are in Shabbos, get into Shabbos. Shabbos in this context will be the Eitz HaChaim. You're not allowed to do anything. You have to do. Like once you have to do, you end up breaking Shabbos. You broke the Shabbos. Eitz HaDas Tov HaRas the week. Shabbos is Eitz HaChaim. Learning the mystical part of the Torah is Eitz HaChaim, because you're not learning what to do. You're not learning halacha. Learning the outer part of the Torah is the Eitz HaDas. Being in the zone, I would say, of even self-introspection in the context of good and bad is Eitz HaDas Tov HaRas. When you are analyzing yourself to know what's good and bad, Eitz HaDas Tov HaRas, you'll always get it wrong. That's what, you'll always get it wrong. Because you won't be, because you'll be blind to yourself. And we all know that. The biggest and most intelligent people, people that can actually analyze others, they can never see themselves. Because there's judgment there. And on a very deep level, that which I already judge to be bad, that God judged to be bad, I won't be able to see it in me. Because I'm arrogant, because I have an ego, there's a self. And I have to first spend time being selfless. And that's why God look at a baby. A baby begins selfless. Selfless and helpless and pure. Why did God make it? There's a reason for that. And it takes a couple of years. 3 hours, 3 years. Upshot and ish. Let me see. Then all of a sudden you get an ego. Then we spend a forever discerning good from bad. And the only reason why at some point when we get older are we able to let go of our bad, at least to let go, is because we are able to see it. Why am I able to see it? Because from the beginning there was a certain selflessness. There was a certain chaim that was put into me, a gift. And if we don't value that enough, and even on a more practical application, like parenting, it's just a more external and therefore a lot easier. In other words, is it that when we see our child do something bad, it's our ability to not judge the child prior to judging the child is that which will give success to the parent, influencing the child to change. If a child will feel only judged by the parent, the child won't change. They'll disconnect themselves from the parent. We see a fault prior to the judgment. There has to be something that's not judged. You're seeing it, but you're not seeing it and judging it. You're seeing it. which won't disconnect you from your child, which won't sever your love from your child, which that's the ultimate mercy. The ultimate mercy is it's not, I don't have to delude myself to love you. You know, if someone is ugly, so you say, I love you because I you somehow appear beautiful. No, is to actually see the ugliness and see beauty. That's what, you know, a parent sees their kid. They see the kid doing something that's not appropriate. You're seeing it, and there has to be first a moment in which there is no judgment. You're seeing it, you're not judging it. That means the kid knows that you can look at me and see all of me, and you're not judging me. Wow, that's ultimate connection. And then you go and you judge your child. And there's a consequence, and there's gevura, and all of that is needed. You can't just have Eitz HaChayim. But the good and the bad, and you made a bad choice, comes after the Eitz HaChayim. Something like that. All right, chevra.